Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast. Here we interview successful people who are living a life filled with adventure, excitement, and fun. Learn where they've been. Explore where they are going. See what gets them out of bed in the morning. Find out what drives them. We will go through their lowest points. We will look at the opportunities and possibilities that are now presenting to them. Come on a journey of ignition. I'm your host, Leanne Blaney. For more information, go to ignitepodcast.com. Let's ignite. Our super cool guest today is Jacob McCluskey, who is the founder and CEO of Positive Existence Personal Training, which helps over 2,000 people every week across 28 locations to lead a healthier, happier life. So Igniters, enjoy the journey that Jacob's been on to get to where he is today. Hi Jake, welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast.
Thanks Leanne for having me, super excited to get going.
Excellent, because I'm really excited for you to share your story with all our listeners. All right, so let's get into it. Tell us a bit about where you are now and what's happening for you.
Cool. So, I have a business called Positive Existence Personal Training, which I've been running for the last 8 years now. And started out as me, just kind of a trainer in the park. And, like every park you drive past these days has 10 trainers in it doing their thing. And, we've built it now to a point where we have 28 locations around Australia. And we've just launched one in India as well, which is really exciting. And a whole bunch more locations are about to get underway. So we're shooting for 100 locations by the end of this year. So we're in a really big kind of growth phase, which is super cool. So that's kind of where I am at the moment. Super busy just building our empire and trying to help as many people as possible to live a healthier, happier life.
I like it. That's huge. 100 locations.
Yeah.
And I hear you've got a retreat as well.
Yeah, we got a retreat coming up in Bali really, really soon, where we take a bunch of our clients away and just spend an intensive week, you know, helping them take their life to the next level. So that's always fun. And lots of traveling around and, helping our location owners and, and all of our team. So that's kind of what takes up most of my time, I guess.
So tell us a bit about your story, where you've been, how you got to this point.
Cool. Well, I guess, you know, there's a whole bunch of different little stories within the big story, which I'm sure we'll get to a little bit later. But essentially, it just started out me, I was at university, just doing a degree in sport and exercise science. And one day I got an email about becoming a personal trainer, doing a course, which I thought was going to be a lot better than packing boxes at the warehouse where I was working. So I thought, hey, I'll do this course, become a PT, and kind of work my way through uni doing that. And that was 8 years ago when I was 20 years old. And I kind of did the whole uni and PT thing for probably 2 or 3 months before deciding that, you know, this PT, and I wanted to really build a business. And I just found myself kind of, gravitating towards that side of it, and ended up kind of quitting uni, quitting another couple of jobs that I had on the side to keep things going, and just jumping right into the business. So that was when I was 21, that kind of decision was made. And since then, yeah, I haven't done anything else. There's been a whole lot of ups and downs, of course. And especially, you know, when you, and a lot of your listeners are probably going through this stage of, you know, opening a business or starting a new career, etc., etc., and having all these challenges, which is inevitable. And there's been a lot of them, and kind of starting to come out the other side now, I guess. Having said that, you know, you're always going to have challenges along the way, and trying to grow a business fast and, you know, do things that aren't normal, I guess, to most people, definitely has led to some challenging days and some exciting days, and not many in-between days. They're either one or the other normally.
Yeah, a lot of hard work getting your own business going.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. But 100% worth it. You know, I mean, I just couldn't picture myself living any other way. And I really try and help as many people as possible kind of see that while it might be challenging, it's absolutely worth it just to follow your passion and do what it is that you believe you are put here to do is kind of my big thing.
Yeah, true. So when was like the tipping point for you that, okay, this can be an actual, you know, really successful business?
Well, when I was 20 years old, I was running boot camps, and it was like group personal training with a mate of mine. We were in partnership in the early days, and then I started noticing that a lot of our clients really weren't up to the group stuff, and us as trainers, we just didn't know how to train them kind of within the group, I guess. It was kind of everyone does the same thing, and some people just weren't up for it. So I started doing some personal training on the side of that, and I remember one Saturday morning, I was charging these people $20 for a half an hour session, which is, you know, really cheap in the scheme of things. But I remember one Saturday morning, I had 6 clients in a row. So I was training for 3 hours and I made $120. And I just thought I was a millionaire. Do you know what I mean? I thought I'd made it, you know, so I was earning $40 an hour and loving it. You know, I was just super excited to train these people and having a great time. And I guess looking back, that was down at Sutton's Beach here at Redcliffe, and I still remember the people that I trained that day as well. And yeah, looking back, that was a real kind of moment. Driving home after that, I really kind of thought, you know, I should be doing this, and I can do it. It's that moment of belief.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. So was it like a lightning bolt for you?
Yeah, almost like you use the word lightning bolt. I use the word BFO or blinding flash of the obvious, like, you know, hey, I can do it, you know what I mean? Like, so that's the one thing that does stick out in terms of going from, you know, working my way through uni as the kind of goal to, hey, wait a second, there could be another option here.
Mm.
And pretty much as soon as that happened, I quit uni, and my mum wasn't very happy with me at the time, but I'm sure she can see the benefits of that now. And and I quit my jobs and I just went all in on it. And I think for a lot of listeners are probably at that similar point where they're trying to decide, do I keep hedging my bets or do I go all in? And I'm just a fan of the all in.
Yeah, it's a hard one, isn't it? Because sometimes even when you're a bit older, you get stuck in it. Yep. Oh, you know, you've got that safety behind you, that security. And to take that risk, because it is a risk.
Yep.
But yeah, it's a hard work, isn't it?
Yeah, but I believe a bigger risk is staying where you are.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? If you stay where you are, you're guaranteed to never be fulfilled, never be entirely happy.
Yep.
If you change and you go that other option, you've got a chance of living out your dreams and you've got a chance of maybe not, but that's far better than no chance at all. So
exactly.
Yeah, I try and look at it from a little bit of a different point of view. I think the riskiest thing you can do is not go for it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. All right, so let's look at some of the challenges that you've had on the way. Anything that made you feel like throwing in the towel or not doing it?
Yeah, there was certainly a point in time, I think, looking back, I must have been 23, 24 at the time. So I've been at it for a few years now. Had a few ups and downs, of course, but I just wasn't kind of getting anywhere. I was still struggling along, and I'd probably gone backwards in many ways, so I'd done quite well in the first couple of years when it was just me and maybe one or two other people. Then grew the business, have all these other team, have bigger expenses, and then all of a sudden kind of went backwards, and I was the hardest working person in the business, not getting anything for it, you know, doing 80 hours a week and not being able to go out for dinner on the weekend, you know, that kind of stuff. And that was going on for quite a while, and I had myself convinced that the fitness industry was the problem, do you know what I mean? Which, when you're under high stress, you know, your brain obviously doesn't function quite as well as normally. And I had myself convinced that the world was the issue, the fitness industry was, you know, impossible to make a great business in. So I was really looking at, I was actually on business websites looking at different businesses that I could go and take over and try and sell this business, which, in hindsight, I'm very glad that I didn't end up going down that avenue. And I can't remember exactly what it was, but something clicked in me, and obviously looked at myself in the mirror one day and said, that's where the problem is and I need to fix that. And ever since that day, it's kind of been certainly forward moving. You know, that's the, I guess it was a real tipping point. And along the way, I think you'll finally have many points like that. It's not just a one thing that changes and then you're set for life. It's a constant kind of learning and reevaluation, readjusting and going again. So, looking back, that just the decision was the critical thing.
Yeah. And did you get any outside assistance, like a coach or a business coach? Or
yeah.
Something?
Well, growing up in sports, I was big into every sport as a kid, but in particular AFL. And so growing up in sports, you're used to coaching, you always have a coach. So when I was 21, I had a bit of a rough time. You know, I jumped into this business, which I had no idea how to run. And it was, you know, sign this lease, and I was training all these people, not charging enough, not making any money. And then Christmas of 2009, or on the 30th of December it was, my best mate passed away in a car accident, which kind of sent me into a bit of a negative spiral, I guess you could say. And a month after that, my girlfriend dumped me, which kind of added fuel to that. And for probably 6 months, I was really, really down, just kind of surviving and just going to work every day, miserable, but just doing it because I had to pay the rent, you know, and keep going. And then it was around May of 2010 that my first business coach literally just walked in the door, and he said, "G'day," and he'd been seeing my emails and stuff like that. And I got started with him, and I'm still working with Brad now, and he's been a huge help to me. And I've had many mentors along the way, and I'm a big believer in getting the help, you know. So you know, we have all the normal people like lawyers and accountants and stuff, but we also have our business coach Brad, who helps me and a lot of our key team here. And we've got a marketing coach who helps us on that stuff. So I'm a huge believer in coaching and mentoring, just in terms of A, business can be really stressful and lonely. You need support. And B, you need a different set of eyes looking at you from the outside, because we are the worst judge of our own performance. You know, we're kind of too close to it, and we're really good at justifying things to ourselves. So you definitely need someone from the outside to keep an eye on things and give you their point of view.
So in times when, you know, you do have that high stress and that, what keeps you putting one foot in front of the other? Is it a big vision, or is it just out of necessity, or?
Yeah, well, I think there's a whole bunch of things. Definitely the vision is important, and I'm listening to a book at the moment. It's called The Go-Giver Leader. And anyway, one of the things they say in it is having a vision is easy, but holding a vision is hard. And that's really, really key. So reminding yourself constantly of the vision is really, really important. And not only that, because that's quite a big thing, but I believe more importantly is your routine. So you're going to have days where it's hard, but if you can stick to your little routines and little things, and one, for example, is I wake up in the morning and I write my goals down. Okay, I write my big goal for the year and then my 90-day goals. So those little things that you're just writing them down every day, and you're refocusing your brain on what you're trying to achieve, and you're just putting one foot in front of the other, right? So it's just a habit. And then your self-talk habits as well. So I write my goals down and I do my IMs, you know, just to get yourself in a good state, and just reminding yourself on who you are and who you're becoming, as opposed to getting stuck in your own thoughts and your negative thought patterns. It's really, really critical. Surrounding yourself with great people and your environment. You know, I'm big on the environment, so always listening to an audio book when I'm driving around instead of the sad songs on the radio, you know. So you're having a rough day, the last thing you need is a sad song or the news to remind you how tough things are, okay? What you need is to be getting some good information into your brain. And, you know, we talk about surrounding yourself with good people. So that means all the coaches and mentors who you can call up when you're having a rough day and talk through it, and kind of you come out the other side of it with a new perspective on what you were just moping about, you know what I mean? So I think it's a whole bunch of little things, not just one thing. And more than anything, it's habits. So when you're stuck in a negative headspace or having a rough time, you got to do something different. You got to talk to somebody about it. You got to do something. You've got to stick to your little habits, that your routines that work for you. Exercise, you know. I own a PT business, so I've always grown up exercising, but it's amazing when you get under that stress how little desire you have to go and do that. So forcing yourself out to go and make it happen, whether you got to book in a session with a friend or a PT, or you just get off your butt and, you know, go do it.
Yeah, great. I find that's the best thing to start my day off, is having that exercise, because it clears the mind for the rest of the day.
Totally. And everyone's a little bit different. I prefer to work in the mornings. My brain works well. And I prefer to exercise in the afternoons, you know, because I'm used to footy training at night. And growing up in that, it's just how my body works best. And you find what works for you. But I just have a little rule, never go 2 days in a row without exercising, you know. So you're creating a habit as opposed to forcing yourself every day to go and do it. You're just doing something more often than not with a rest day thrown in there when you need it.
Yeah, great rule. Love that one. So was there actually an ignition point? Like when have things really started taking off for you?
Well, I guess there's been several ignition points. It's almost like, you know, you're driving, then you stop at the lights and then you push off again. And I think certainly that's happened to me several times. The first one was when I first met Coach Brad. I guess I was in this really negative space, and you know, I learned a bunch of lessons there, and in particular I learned in hindsight, not at the time, but in hindsight, how short your life is. You know, you never know how long you've got, so you've really got to have a go and just go for it. So when I met Brad, he kind of gave me the tools to deal with what I was dealing with and help me set goals and all that kind of stuff, and clear a lot of the head trash, which enabled me to push forward quite rapidly in the early days. And then, you know, I've hit other roadblocks along the way, and you kind of, you know, like I mentioned before about the thinking it's the industry's problem and all that kind of stuff. And then you realize it's yours, and then you take control and you shoot off again. All right, then, you know, we set up another business with a good mate of mine in CQ, and that did really, really well, and that kicked us off again. And then we started our franchising model because we saw how well it worked with other trainers running it. Shot off again, and just in recent times started thinking a lot bigger globally. About this time last year, we started planning India, Pept India, and we kicked that off about 7-8 weeks ago now. And you know, now we're thinking globally, so it's forced us to grow much faster as opposed to kind of, you know, a location here and there.
Exciting.
Yeah,
so what are you looking forward to most in the future?
In a sentence, changing the world, you know, making a real difference. The whole vision for us is to create a healthier, happier world. And I've got this kind of, I guess, metaphor, or if you like, where we're creating the Starbucks of fitness. Okay, so Starbucks is such a recognizable brand. And after doing a lot of research and reading a few books about Starbucks, it's kind of a really similar story to ours in the early days. Like, you know, we're just kind of getting started, but you can see how it's actually possible. So the vision is to spread right across the world and change millions of people's lives. So that's what we're all about at the end of the day, is helping people live a healthier, happier life. And we've got this great thing where we're able to build these great communities of people that, you know, can come here, feel comfortable to work out instead of going to the gym and feeling horrible or just not going because of that. And, you know, we're able to make this significant impact on people. And for us, it's about being able to help more people with that instead of playing it small. And I guess the way I see it, if we played small, we'd be doing the world a disservice and not kind of not living out our potential, which would be the absolute worst possible thing.
Yeah, so true. All right, let's have a change of pace. Cool. Do a speed round.
Oh, speed round. I thought I was going quick.
What's your favourite book?
Favourite book? The book I probably recommend the most to people lately is a book called The Big Leap. Okay, so I find most people, everyone has these upper limit problems, you know, these things where they, sorry, I know it's a speed round, rabbiting on
all
now.
All good.
But we all have these upper limiting, like a glass ceiling that we place over our head for whatever reason. It's normally just little things that we've learnt growing up that we haven't even kind of recognised and realised. So that book's just really good at shining the light on those things and helping people lift their glass ceiling, which then enables huge personal growth really rapidly. And you know, a lot of my work now is with business owners, so I'm helping them grow their businesses really quickly just by releasing some of those mental barriers.
Awesome. What about a mentor figure that helped you the most?
Yeah, I'd say the one that's helped me the most is Coach Brad, who I spoke about earlier, who I still work with. So yeah, and he works really closely with our team now, probably even more than myself now. And helping our team get up to that level, which is what's going to take our business to the next level. So, yeah, having someone someone over your shoulder or someone you can just call up because you've got a something that's on your mind is hugely valuable to anybody, but in business, it's, I think, a necessity.
Yeah. And I know we were talking about routines before, but do you have a daily ritual that works best for you?
Yeah, daily rituals, simple things, like I said before, but I think the simple things are the best, and simple doesn't mean easy. It's easy not to listen to the audiobook. It's easy not to write your goals down, but do it. You know, it just has such a huge impact. So wake up, write my goals down, say my IMs, listen to audiobooks in the car, the exercise, and a habit that I'm really trying to push now is when you are in a negative headspace for whatever reason, change it, call someone or do a workout or have a stretch or do something different. Change your physiology, change your thought pattern immediately. So it's just a good little habit to get into.
Yeah, I love that. Do you have a favorite food?
I'd say, you know, ice cream, I would have to say.
I'm with you there.
Yeah. A bit of Baskin Robbins is always good, in moderation, of course.
Exactly. Country or city?
I like the city. So I grew up in the country in a place called Yeppoon in central Queensland, and before that Dysart, which is a little coal mining town in central Queensland. So I thought I'd move into the city when we moved to Yeppoon, which is about 15,000 people or something. And since moving to Brisbane, as soon as I finished school, I moved to Brisbane. And I really liked the city life. If we could just get rid of the traffic,
yeah, exactly,
that'd be great.
Biggest piece of advice to give to others to help them make change?
Biggest piece of advice is go for it. You know, like simple, but you know, no other advice actually helps if you don't back yourself. The way I like to look at it is when you actually think about it, you literally have nothing to lose. What we fear is all our perceptions, right, of what we might lose. So you're fearing that loss of security, but at the end of the day, we live in a country where it's almost impossible for you to become homeless. You know, like we have a welfare system, and let's hope it doesn't get to that for you. But if it did, you know, most of us could probably just go and find a similar job that we've already got really quickly, within a few weeks, if it didn't work out, right? So, go for it. If you've got a dream, you've got a goal, you know, obviously come up with a plan and get the right help and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, you got to pull the trigger. And I see so many people, now that we have a franchised system and we are selling this to personal trainers all around the country, come up against this all the time where everything is right for this person to make the jump, but they stand at the edge of the pool, okay? And you stand at the edge of the pool long enough, the water looks scary, okay? So if you just go and jump in and get going, they're the people that create success. So you've got to have a huge bias towards taking action.
The last question, if you had a time machine, what would you go back and do differently or tell your former self?
I would tell myself what I just told myself earlier, what I just told you, sorry. I think the longer I have been doing this, the more and more kind of I realize that while I thought I was going for it before, I probably was playing a little safe, you know, say compared to some, maybe not, but compared to what I'm capable of, right? So We often set our kind of ambitions or our goals based around what we've achieved in the past and maybe a little bit better, right? So, we did X amount of dollars last year, so we'll add 10% to that, and that's our goal for this year. So we're basing our future potential on, you know, incremental improvements versus our true potential, right? So if what we're truly capable of is 100 times more than what we've been giving, we're missing out on that 99 times. Does that make sense? So base your targets, your goals, your ambitions on the potential that you have and in business, or the potential of your market, you know, versus what you actually have been capable of in the past, because you're going to have to grow and become a new person to achieve those things. But that's the whole point. So go big, I guess, in a couple of words is my short answer.
Oh, I like that. All right. Well, thank you so much for your valuable time today, cool. Jake.
Pleasure.
Would you like to give us the best place to contact you and we'll end it there?
Yeah, totally. Facebook is my thing, so jump on Facebook. Jacob McCluskey, M-C-L-U-S-K-I-E. Drop me a line, add me as a friend, follow me, whatever you want to do there. But I try and use my Facebook as much as possible with posting up little videos and cool stuff whenever I have a thought that I think is going to be helpful. So connect on there and it'd be great to see some new faces.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Leanne.
Well, there you have it, Igniters. The inspiring go-getter, Jake McCluskey. Such value for us about blinding flashes of the obvious. That's a bigger risk not going for it. And best advice, just go for it. You can contact Jake on his Facebook page, Jacob McCluskey. That's M-C-L-U-S-K-I-E. And if you want more info about the podcast, go to ignitepodcast.com. And for more great interviews, go to Podbean or iTunes. If you're enjoying these interviews, please review on iTunes. Till the next one.